Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be part of our community, head on over to missionmatters.com/community to apply. All right, so today is a special episode. We're bringing on Tony Saliba, who's founder of Liquid Mercury. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adam. Great to be here.
All right, Tony. So we got a lot to talk about today. So, of course, I want to learn more about Liquid Mercury and your journey to creating that. And for some of the individuals, not to steal your thunder, but for some of the individuals listening to this, you're going to want to stay tuned in because Tony's been a trader. He's been a trader on the floor. I mean, he's been in this business a long time, and some of you may not even know what that means, but we're going to get into it. So, Tony, but before we do that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with what we like to call our Mission Matters Minute. So, Tony, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, experts, and enterprises. That's our mission. Tony, what mission matters to you?
Well, for Liquid Mercury, our mission is to bring institutional grade technology to the digital asset space. At this point, most of the business is being done on what you might call web technology, that is, for e-commerce. And, you know, we view ourselves as changing the market structure and bringing institutions to a level of security, speed, accuracy that they're used to in traditional finance. That's what we do.
Great having you on, and that's exciting to me because for me, when I think about some of the other, let's just say the newer asset classes that have come up in recent years, the way I see it is even if we go go way back in time, right? Like at some point, a mutual fund was invented, right? An ETF was invented. So all of these other investment instruments, like the way I personally view them, is that they're products at the end of the day. They're products. Even a stock, like that's a product. That's an idea that's sold to somebody that gives them ownership into a company. And there's, regulations, laws, and a lot of other things that go in the back end of that lead us to where we are today. But I guess just to get this conversation started, like before we get into Liquid Mercury, like what qualifies you to bring this institutional grade? Like maybe go into your history and really where you got started.
Absolutely. Well, anybody who's heard from me in the past will have heard me say that necessity has been the mother of invention.
I agree to that. I'm raising my hand over here. You can't see it, but I agree.
That's right. And it's something about us. You know, we all have different sort of learned or grown characteristics that might be unique to us. But mine is I see something and my brain immediately goes to how can I optimize that situation. I had a client in the 90s, he was a head trader at Citibank in Frankfurt, and he said, we were just bringing out trading software for the first time in those years, and he said, I want to do all of this in one click. Okay, I'm like, well, all right, we'll build it. Maybe we can get it from 25 clicks to 10 clicks. Would that be great? So, now we have algos doing so much of this, and AI does a lot of that work intuitively for us, but I'll be standing in a line at a grocery store or something and immediately will say, she should be doing this and they should be doing that. So What qualifies me is that I've done this before. I built my first program in 1984. Everybody was saying to me, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm having a hard time keeping track of my positions. I'm going to get a PC and write a program to organize my positions, I was one of the biggest traders on the floor in the early 80s. And people were like, well, it's a PC, Saliba. It's a personal computer. You can't use it for business. And I'm like, okay, I'll just, keep it at home and I'll do my work at home. I had my first program developed almost 40 years ago. And I've done many since. Liquid Point being one of my bigger projects from 99 to 07. I sold the company to Bank of New York. And it is still today under a different name, but is still today the predominant software for workflow automation for listed options. Floor brokers, upstairs traders use Liquid Point's technology that we installed, you know, 20 years ago, and it's been upgraded and, you know, modernized to a great degree. But my next company, Matrix, is a broker dealer that's hot on its tail and taking business away from my former company. So we've done it before. Mercury is my fourth incarnation of the technology. It's all based on being able to handle any asset class, predominantly digital assets. So our clients today are OTC brokers and traders, sell side shops, and we also have a B2B to C solution called LM Plus, Liquid Mercury Plus, for companies that have audiences, subscriptions, if you will, that want to bring trading in cryptocurrencies and other digital assets to their audiences. So we cover the gamut of workflow automation, if you will, for trading.
Mm. And so bringing the institutional side of things for this, like when did you get or when did you see this opportunity or this this gap in the marketplace? So I follow your journey so far, and what was the moment, or was it an evolution where you're like, oh, you know what, this is my next thing? Like, when did that happen?
Well, for Liquid Mercury, what's funny is people say, well, when did you start, you know, getting into cryptocurrency? And I said, well, I had a colleague in 2009 who was our head of research, Nick Colas, great guy, and he sent out a morning email updating us on things that were prominent and happening in the marketplace. And I read him religiously, and then he started writing about this new solution, product, idea called Bitcoin. And I read it, you know, fully, intensely, and after, you know, 3, 4, 5 months, I had it down cold, and I put it aside. And I totally forgot about it for like 7 years. And then I was having breakfast one morning in 2017, and somebody said, hey, did you see Bitcoin cost $2,000? And I'm like, wait a minute. That was like 10 cents last time I thought about it. And so I totally missed the move. But then I dove in, and we were creating Matrix at the time, and my partner, I was a publicly traded company, and they didn't want to touch digital assets. So I said, all right, would you mind if we run this in parallel? And they didn't have a problem. So I just saw in 2017 what I saw in 1978 in listed options, all the opportunity in front of us. And the genesis of Liquid Mercury has been one that has incorporated a lot of the workflow and ideas that were in our DNA as options traders for nearly 40 years. And now you see it in its full splendor and beauty of a digital asset platform that can handle anything, options, spot, perps, futures, and it allows the client, the user, a lot of flexibility and the ability to, you know, focus on what they do best in broking or trading.
Hmm. Tony, I got to tell you my funny, I don't say this one often. I don't even know if I've said this on the show before. I got to tell you how I missed it in the beginning. And this is when mentors go wrong. I had a really good mentor. He still is a mentor of mine. He's a really good trader, but he's done well. But he for whatever reason, and I'm sure he changed his tune on this at some point, and I don't know why, or and I just never really followed up on it. But I remember when it first came out and it hit my radar, it was always in the same conversation with the Iraqi dinar. I don't know why, but my particular like subset of like friends, like that were all in finance, it was almost kind of like they were grouped together in terms of like joking about it. So I never actually did the research or looked at it myself because this was the same time period. I'm talking about the beginning. Like it was
sure.
Like, in Iraq. So that's the same time period. So I just kind of mentally linked them as not the same currency or not the same, obviously, vehicle, nothing like that. But I just linked them in the same conversation of people that were into that. And I just wasn't like that, let's just say exploratory if we want to be politically correct, right? But that's how I missed it. And I'm like, wait a minute. I look back one day and I'm like, wait a minute. Some of the Iraqi dinar people actually had it right and they actually the money for same on me for not doing my own research. Same on me for not doing my own research.
I mean, it was a little out there, and
it
the way Nick explained it, it was cool for me. But I didn't, I was like busy doing things. I'm like, I'm not. But in 2017, I had a different opinion. I'm like, okay, this is kind of grown up. I mean, it was 8 or 9 years old, but I'll tell you, Adam.
I'm going back to 8 or 9 years if you think about the timeline I'm talking about. I'm talking about the beginning. It was Iraqi dinar and that. Like, that's the beginning.
Yeah.
We're talking for a couple of years.
I know. I've happened to meet a number of people that did buy Bitcoin in double digits, like in the, under $100. But what struck me in 2017, really quickly, is that this was like primordial ooze, similar to the options market. I came down on the floor in '78. It had been trading for 5 years, and over-the-counter options have been around for a long time. But there still was a lot of formation ahead. And when I looked, and just real quickly, any new product that is risky, difficult to fill, which options were then, and crypto was in 2017, people jumping in the beginning don't necessarily want to open a website and start clicking away. They want to talk to somebody. They want to talk to a trusted broker. It happens every day today. I want to buy, $20 million of Ethereum. They don't just go on and click away. They give a person an order, and that person sits there and works it all day or finds the other side. Typically, it's a ladder, and they put up a trade. And that was missing from this marketplace. So we built out a platform to address those companies that do that. And here we are, and we, we're signing some of the biggest traditional finance shops that are coming across and finally feeling that, tide is turning on regulation or they're multinational and they're using their overseas domiciles to get into business.
Hmm. And I'm looking at this and I was looking at your website before and I had to like refresh my memory on this because it's been a while since I read it, but you were one of the market wizards, right?
I actually was the only option trader.
Yeah, I remember this. Like after I was looking at this, and I'm like, wait a minute! Like for those that are been studying finance a long time, this was the old like Jack Schwager like series. That just,
totally.
I don't know him personally, but he put together. I've never seen another series like it. Honestly, it's amazing.
You're spot on, and it's kind of a blessing and a curse in that even today. Young men and women in finance programs, they want to read something that's, financial adjacent, meaning let's look at some human interest situations of people in finance. So they read, almost everybody reads Market Wizards, and the original one had 14 of us. I was the only options trader, so I stuck out. And if I go to a conference or at some people say, they ask me, "Oh, are you doing this?" I'm like, "Well, that was 35 years ago. I did all this. I'm doing something different now, but it's fun." I mean, I get inquiries I would say a few times a month, every single month, about, you know, I read your chapter, you know, and some of those guys have passed on. I'm still friends with some of them. And in fact, I had dinner a week and a half ago with Blair Hall, who's in the second book, but he's, you know, completely, you know, a god in the option space, great guy. And it was fun. And I became friends with Jack. I helped him edit his subsequent books because he was a futures guy and didn't know options language very well. But it was kismet that happened. He called the exchange and said, you know, I want to interview some options traders. And I worked very closely with the exchange's marketing department. I felt, you know, I was only 31 years old, and I felt I wanted to give something back to the exchange. So I thought it was like a marketing thing. I'll talk to this guy. And he picked me. And who knew, right? Who knew that it would become, you know, bigger than reminiscences of a stock trader.
Yeah, it's interesting because that, like, you don't know how things are, you know, how things come full circle. But that, and I, that series was part of that, and the second one would be Chicken Soup for the Soul, is what really inspired me, like, partially to start the company and Mission Matters. Like, that's where it all started. He doesn't know that, by the way. I don't know him personally or Jack Canfield, but so
Jack
now. So to date, we've published over 400 authors in our anthology series that is not exactly like theirs, but it has different topics like business leadership, or we just did a Texas edition. We've done women in business. So it's more so entrepreneurial stories. It matches the podcast a little bit more, like, so it's not heavy, deep finance, but that all started from their work and seeing what they were able to do.
Whoa,
and so this
I love
entire
that.
Company. This entire, like, they have no idea that they spurred. I mean, I'm over 6,000 interviews in. We also have a podcast network. We launched over 150 shows, 35 of which are Mission Matters. Like, a lot of that was all spurred from that idea, because in my opinion, whether they knew what they were doing or not, in this side of things, it was really like amplifying the stories for others to get their message and their knowledge out, which is a little counterculture to today's influencer culture. It's a little counterculture, but that's the way it matches, like, what myself and the other co-founder here, Chirag, had in mind of what we wanted to create. And so that was the original, this entire company, everything started from an anthology book.
Oh my God. Well, this is kismet, because I met Jack this summer. I went on an ayahuasca journey for a week in the jungle, and Jack, he participated with us. You know, we had four nights of ceremony, medicine journeys, and he spoke to us during the day. Great guy. What a touch point. I wish I would have known. I might be able to get him in touch with you, actually, Adam.
All good. Appreciate it. I can thank him, really, because he was in that. And this is the fun part about I feel like energy and people out there doing great work and trying to progress and advance in industry or industries, just like you're doing with crypto trading. So when I hear you putting your brand, your name, your label in order to, like, I don't know if I should use the word validate, but in order to pierce and for people to take things seriously, more people that are serious and have brands, whether it's personal or businesses or otherwise, you know, them coming together to figure things out for the greater good. I mean, that's what I see you're doing at Liquid Mercury. Obviously, there's the specifics of institutions and bringing institutional grade infrastructure, but ultimately, like, there has to be people with brands and with names and with clout and that have figured it out once or twice or three or four times before, so that they can apply that learning to whatever's next, and that advances us all faster. Again, just going back to the original, how I opened the show was that a mutual fund was an idea. Whether Jack Bogle made it up in a thesis or not, who knows? I wasn't there, but that's part of the story. ETF, that was made up too. Even the stock coming from the original drip plans, that was made up. At some point, we figured out how to exchange value. So what I see this as is, like, this is the next thing. And it's interesting to me, because the better, like, the more individuals like you that come around this space, I feel like the more opportunity there's going to be for everybody. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. I completely identify with all of those words, Adam. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Tony, you know, I can talk to you all day, man. I know we just got going, but as they say, no, seriously, though, it has been a pleasure having you on the show and getting to connect and to learn from you, and I'm sure my audience enjoyed it as well. That being said, if somebody wants to continue to follow your journey or learn more about liquid mercury in general, I mean, what's the best way for them to do that?
Probably going to our website, liquidmercury.com. But also I'm on LinkedIn. We have typical social media platforms, a Twitter account that we, you know, put out some of our findings and the different things we're doing. But we also have a token, an altcoin that we just launched called the MERC, M-E-R-C. And for those in your audience that are offshore, we trade on various exchanges, CEX, Uniswap, BitRue. And we have a loyalty program that allows people to, you know, trade for free, get training and information, curated third-party software. So it's the MERC, M-E-R-C. And we have a communication portal that I communicate with people who do that. So there's a lot of different ways to get in touch with us.
That's awesome. And then also, I see you have a book out there too, Managing Expectations. Yeah?
Yes. Yep. It's an intermediate options program. You know, options are the best financial device created, and the ones that trade on digital assets are amazing, and soon many of the altcoins will have options. So we're just ready for that, and we try to bridge the gap between equity and index options and digital asset options.
Fantastic. Well, for everybody listening, really appreciate your time today and tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. If you did, I know I did. Don't forget, hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Tony, really, it has been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Adam. Enjoy. Thank you, everybody.